Sir, advance calling to Mr. President. There you are.
Yeah.
Mr. President, none of those talked to him or to anybody else that they can think of would talk to him. The only conversations they had were within the building among each other. So, and we're all agreed on if any question should arise, what we would say about it along the lines we discussed.
All right, now what would that be? Clear it up for me. Summarize it.
I would summarize it by saying this, that we felt because of the confusion that had arisen that it was necessary to put the clear and straight facts out to the people, and this was based upon the cables which came in from the people out there in the field who had actually seen and evaluated what had taken place.
Okay. Now, would I be going too far to ask you and Bob to spend a little time over the weekend thinking about what you can do without attracting undue attention to communicate to the military my concern about information on IL-28s and their views and stuff like this, as well as everybody that you deal with, like McNaughton and Sylvester, so that we be positive that this stuff does not come out of the Pentagon and that we do not spend our days lobbying with columnists?
Right, sir.
Will you talk to Bob about
that? I certainly will,
sir. I think it's good to have backgrounders with the foreign press. I think it's excellent to be on television. I think no president ever encouraged your saying more to the press. But so far as a guy promoting himself by talking to some columnist and buying some insurance and leaking something like Gilpatrick did to Joe Alsop, I have utter contempt. And I'd rather have resignations in block from all joint chiefs and secretaries concerned than have one of them give one figure to Marcus Childs that's not available to other people. And I want to go back to the old Kennedy doctrine. We've got the best bunch of leakers you ever saw over here, and I've got them in a surplus. And if I need anything leaked, I'll leak it. But I sure as hell don't want my joint chiefs leaking it or my defense people leaking it.
Right.
I think it, as my man there, you and Bob, ought to study out how is the smart, wise, tough way to handle this. I beg that you set up somebody so you know what's happening. But if you don't do that, then just do whatever you're willing to do to put these leaks at a minimum. And that means Marguerite Higgins, and that means Peter Listigore, and that means Roland Evans, and that particularly means Joe Alsop and Scotty Reston and everybody. That doesn't mean that everybody shouldn't see them. And when they call, let them see them. See them, tell them nothing, smile, and give them just what you gave in a briefing yesterday to the foreign correspondents. And if you're smart, that's what you can do, and that's what I do when Reston comes see me. I tell him what I told 20 of them in Max Friedman's house. He can't get mad because I didn't tell him something. I have seen him, but I don't allow myself to arm the man who's going to shoot me with a pistol and with the cartridges. And I think we ought to be smart enough to do that. And if I go down, why, it's not going to look very good on y'all's part.
Absolutely, sir.
Now, you get a battle plan on that, and let's stop the Pentagon.
Right.
Then I'm going to start the State Department and have to fire everybody. I told Russ that yesterday. If every man out of there has to come out of there, I'm going to do it and put in a one-eyed farmer. I'd rather have a one-eyed farmer Secretary of State than by God a fellow that I can't write a memo to without having it in the front page of the Times.
Right, sir.
Right.